7. And I'm just going to read the first 9 verses from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness along the way of the wasteland. They did not find an inhabited city. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you and we thank you that your premier attribute that you choose to demonstrate towards us is altar. We rest in the fact that you do not change because you are true to who you are. And we thank you for the way in which that has demonstrated itself in our redemption, in that even when we were rushing headlong against you, walking straight into sin because we loved it, you loved us and you brought us back and you delivered us through the cross. We thank you that even right now, as your men, as your people, that are not always faithful, that many times falter, have so much in us that causes us to wander from you, that you continue to sustain us, you continue to lead us, you continue to guide us. And it's only because of that that we are preserved. It's your perseverance, Lord, that keeps us. It's your perseverance that builds your church and that makes your church stand strong even during tough times. And so we come before you, Lord, even seeking you this morning and asking you to continue to show us your ways that are faithful, to show us your truth that is our only hope and guide and counsel, and to give us even your spirit this morning that can restore our souls from brokenness and things that distract us and cause us to not be faithful to you. Lord, we want to be faithful to you this morning. And so help us. We're like Timothy, constantly being distracted and even weak in our hearts. And we want to be lifted up. And we thank you for the preaching of your word that does that in our hearts and in our minds, because it comes through your power. And so we pray that even as your men this morning, you would build us up, you would encourage us, and you would cause us to get a fresher sense of just your love for us, and then how we may love you in light of that. May you be glorified and honored.
Good morning, brothers. It's a privilege to study Word of God. We are going through a series of 2 Timothy. We are in chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. We finish chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Then we move to verse 7 to verse 10. I felt these verses are very practical guidelines for the ministers of God. This passage encourages you and me and challenges you, even me, to study the Bible in proper way. This passage increases our respect for the Word of God, make you joyful in your ministry, because most of the time we are all dealing with the Word of God. These verses exalt the power and greatness of the Word of God, greatness of the gospel. I guarantee that if you understand this passage clearly, you commit yourself to the ministry of God's word. Brothers, nowadays, churches and leaders are losing their interest in the word of God, encouraging other things, activities, entertainments in the churches, less focus, less commitment to the ministry of God's word, but focusing on other things. Today, less importance on the word of God, more importance on the personal revelations. The most of the time in the churches, generally, they sing many songs, and they keep more times for activities. By the time when pastor is going to preach, they will tell you, preach 15 minutes. Reading scripture and proving the points takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Because they are very interested in other things, other activities. I am not saying those are bad, but the people, leaders in the church, ministers of the God, they are losing heart for the ministry of God's word. But this, the portion will encourage you to commit yourself to the ministry of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. It was very encouraging for me and speaking with me so that I can focus on the word of God. Even you can focus on the word of God. Verse 7 to 10. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Verse 10, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. If you see this, verse 7 to 10, Paul is saying, consider what I say, for the Lord will give understanding in everything. Here, the what I say refers to the word of God, which he wrote to Timothy. Paul commands to Timothy, consider it. Look at verse 8, says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. He says, verse 9, the word of God is not imprisoned. For this I endure, verse 10. We see two commands that are connected to the word of God. After instructing Timothy to be a soldier, athletic, and farmer, he instructs Timothy to think, remember God's word, gospel. So the theme of this passage is commit yourself to the ministry of God's word. Commit yourself to the ministry of God's word. Two ways to commit ourselves to the ministry of God's word. First way to commit ourselves to the ministry of God's word is writing. Paul is commanding Timothy that he should do this action continually. This is present tense Paul using, and also commanding. You should understand whatever Paul says to him. He must understand. Paul is saying to Timothy, the idea in Greek, make this your habit or train yourself in it. This is your habit. This is your, you have to do it. You need to understand what I say. This is a very good and useful command to even nowadays ministers. Not thinking, most of them, not understanding the author's intention, but just reading and making their own theology, making their own applications. They are not thinking about the intention. They are not understanding what the author is saying. Two facts about the word of God that motivate us to understand. First fact about the word of God that motivates us to understand is it came through apostles. It came through apostles. Verse 7, consider what I say, Brothers, we must take any truth and commandments from apostles very seriously. They say what God say to them to say. They were sent by Jesus. Timothy must focus on apostle teaching. Here, Paul's teaching, because he was sent by Jesus. Even early church, they were focusing apostle teaching. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to apostle teaching. Continually, because they received the revelation from God through these men. Not other things, not other special revelations. Because, you know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's why he is commanding. Why he is commanding? Consider what I say. Timothy should listen? Why Timothy should understand what Paul is saying? Because these words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It came through apostles. The Holy Spirit is the author of the scripture. That's why we need to understand the word of God. In this context, Timothy should understand what he wrote in this epistle. Consider what I say. Understand what I am saying, especially in this context, verse chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. He explained, right, who is soldier, how a minister be, a soldier. Soldier will fight, right? Then he explained the illustration of athlete. He focuses. Then he explains about farmer, that is fruit, as we heard last chapter. Just you consider, you understand what I am saying, Timothy. Not only these things, just everything, whatever apostle is teaching, Timothy has to understand, that is command, and also present tense, ongoing state, he needs to understand. Think about what it means to be soldier, brothers, an athlete, a farmer. Not only these things, whenever you read the Bible, whenever you preparing for your sermon, you must also think, you must understand the author's intention, and make effort. Because if you are not understanding what apostles are teaching us, if you are not understanding word of God, then you will add your own opinions. Recently, one person came to here. He wants to join his son to PTS. Then administrator, he was not there. I was studying here and I met that person. He said, I want to help my son come to PTS. Then he asked, yeah, it is good, I said. Then he said, after this PTS, can I send my son to abroad? Why you want to send your son to abroad? It is enough to do ministry in India. PTS is enough, I told him. But he said, no, I received dream. I received a revelation. So in that revelation, my son is doing a global ministry, international ministry. So I want to send my son there. See, his focus is on dreams, revelations. He is not focusing on the text, what text is saying. Not only he is one example, many other preachers, yes, they are adding revelations into the text. But here, Paul is commanding, consider what I say. The implication will be whatever apostles are teaching us, telling us, we need to focus those things. We should not add any other things. You as a student in this seminary, you have to understand author's intention, what author is saying. You heard hermeneutics, right, by Abner Chow. He is telling you need to understand author's intention, what apostles are teaching us, not adding our own opinions. But I want to encourage, don't try to study them as an assignment, but to study to understand it. That is the thing we have to do. So sometimes, no, you have many assignments, just you will do hari-bari. No, you need to understand it for your benefit. That is the proper way. This is commanded because the ministers always study the word of God. Whenever you are studying word of God, that time you need to understand. The second fact about the word of God that motivates us to understand is it can be understood through illumination. It can be understood through illumination. Look at verse 7, part B. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You understand first. You understand continually. For the Lord will give you understanding. Here Paul is giving additional information to what he described before. This is not a reason, but addition to it. He said, consider what I say, and Lord will give you understanding to it. Two things must happen. You need to understand. You need to do your effort. And when you are doing effort, decide, God will help you to understand in everything. This will happen. This will take place in future. No doubt at all. Here Paul is saying that the Lord will give understanding to Timothy. God, Lord will give you. In everything, look at that word, in everything. Paul is saying that the Lord will give Timothy understanding in everything. Everything in the Bible. When you are focusing, when you are understanding what apostles are teaching. It is true, right? Martin Luther, when he was reading Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the righteous shall live by faith. When he read, who helped him to understand? Who helped him? Jesus Christ. Lord helped him to understand what is that meaning. So Reformation came, right? Through that Reformation came. We are all trusting in Christ by faith. We were saved by faith because one person took stand. He understood the scripture. God helped him to stand for that. Reformation happened through the help of the Lord, brothers. We are more practical and even charismatic people than others. Because when we are reading, no, God is doing miracles so that we can understand miracle ways. God is helping us. We believe the Lord does miracles when we hear and read the word of God. Brothers, you join seminary. We are studying the word of God. But here is the promise. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. I can say in my experience, many times when I'm dealing with different passages in preaching, Bible study, I'm not able to understand what it means initially. Then studying, then God will help me to understand. Then joy will come. Joy will come. You can experience that joy. Only God will give that. When you came to know the meaning of the word of God. Many times he has done in my life. Many times. God is the one. This is promise. This credit must go to the Lord. No one else. The Lord is helping us to know the. See, you know many things, but we should not boast. I know many things. Not by yourself you know many things. Because Lord help you to know these all things. You must give praise to the Lord. Because of your wisdom in the Bible, it was possible. It is possible through the Lord. God may use professors and teachers and pastors. They are just tools in the hand of God. But ultimately, God will give you the understanding. You must trust Him for wisdom. Let's move. Second way to commit ourselves to the ministry of God's word. Is suffer for the powerful gospel. suffer for the powerful gospel. Look at verse 8 to 10. Paul is saying verse 8, Timothy should remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and was a descendant of a David, corresponding to my gospel. The Paul's gospel matching with this truth. Paul is preaching Jesus Christ. He was risen from the dead. He was a descendant of David. Then look at verse 9. It says, for this reason I suffer hardship. For this reason means for the gospel. Verse 9. For which I suffer hardship. Verse 9. Which I suffer hardship. He is suffering for the gospel. Then he says, verse 10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. It is very clear. The gospel is powerful. The word of God is not imprisoned. So we need to suffer for the powerful gospel. That is our second way to commit ourselves to ministry of God's word. Here Paul says how much he was willing to suffer. How he was suffering. He was suffering even imprisonment. This is like physical suffering. And he was breaking his body for the sake of the gospel. Gospel is much better than his comfort. He did not seek his comfort, but he suffered. He broke his body for the sake of gospel. It is very clear. We know that he died after this imprisonment. The Roman soldiers cut off his head from his body. He went through suffering because of the gospel. That's why I'm saying suffer for the powerful gospel. Not only he faced, if you understand, he faced physical suffering and also emotional suffering, mental suffering. He went through that. Look at verse 9. For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. Why I'm saying? Because people were calling him a criminal. He was suffering like a criminal. This is a mental suffering, right? He was treated like criminal. The same word used to two criminals who crucified with Jesus Christ. The same word used even to Paul. Paul sits in prison like a criminal. It is actually injustice, right? He is working for God. He is preaching gospel. He did not kill anybody. He did not harm anybody. Just preaching the word, they said, you are a criminal. You are against the law. It's like mental suffering, right? People are calling him. We don't know how much mocking, how much he was mocked for the cause of gospel. That's why he said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. He is joyfully suffering. He is not crying, why I should suffer. He is joyfully suffering. He said, I am joyfully suffering for the sake of the gospel. We know many the heroes of faith in history. William Tyndale was burned for the gospel. John Huss was burned for the gospel. John Bunyan was arrested and spent the 12 years in prison as he refused to give up preaching. 12 years he spent in imprisonment. Many were suffered for the gospel joyfully. When they were preaching, they gave offer. Officials gave offer. We want to preach, we will leave you. If you are not preaching, we leave you. If you are preaching, we will put you in the jail. But they went through it. They took the suffering happily, joyfully, because they were not willing to give up the gospel. Great heroes of faith, right? They're encouraging us. Even for me, it is very encouraging when I'm studying how much struggle they are going through for the sake of the gospel. You must suffer physically, mentally, for the sake of the gospel, if it is allowed in your life, brothers. In what ways that you can suffer physically? Maybe you are not going to jail, but there are some ways we can suffer physically for the gospel's sake. Let me tell you, the world hates, persecutes Christians. First, whom they will catch. We were doing a Bible study. The king of Syria, he said to soldiers, don't catch anybody. Not small one, not great one. Catch the king of Israel. If we kill that Israel, king of Israel, then we will overcome everything. The persecutors, these people attack first leaders of the church. The first beating will be on the leaders, pastors. It may come. We have to go through it if those are coming. Working hard day and night in studying the word and preaching. You lose your sleep, right? It is also losing your physically, you are suffering for the gospel's sake. But you may say, I am studying Greek and I may study later Hebrew, all entry, OT, survey, I am doing many assignments, I am losing sleep. You are suffering. You are suffering for good cause. That is for the gospel, to do his ministry. Be joyful in that. Be joyful in that. Why I am saying, I went through that before. We need to take joyful if you lose 1 hour sleep. Because the heroes of faith, the many people were went through more than us. This is nothing. But you may face financial suffering also. If you are doing ministry, full-time pastor, planting the church, then you need to do the job, you need to do ministry. You may not earn much money like IT guys and doctors and businessmen. You need to adjust. You are not able to buy a fruit sometimes because very expensive, 250, 300. You need to adjust many areas if you are doing ministry. That is true, brothers. You should know the reality of ministry. Sometimes God allows to go through these all things so that he can save somebody else. We are going to see that truth also. Why we will suffer? Why we will break our bodies? Because God will produce fruit through our sufferings. It is painful, but it is joyful because you are suffering for a good cause. That is for the gospel's sake. Even mentally also we will suffer. People used to comment on us and maybe they will put in a website, this person is bad. These are mental suffering, right? They may say bad about us, bad about you, because you are preaching gospel. They are unfaithful to the word of God. They do not like what you are preaching. They may say bad about you. But we need to go through it. We need to go through it. Jesus Christ went through all of this. Paul is not greater than Jesus Christ. Even no people, even John Hus, William Tyndale, John Bunyan, they went through the suffering because their model is Jesus Christ. He went through the suffering. Son of God, who became man, he went through all the physical suffering, the mental suffering. He did it. That is our motivation. So that's why it's a second way that we can commit ourselves to the ministry of God's word is suffer for the powerful gospel. Two things that motivate us to suffer for the powerful gospel. The first thing that motivates us to suffer for the powerful gospel is the content of the gospel. The content of the gospel. The content of the gospel motivates us to suffer for the powerful gospel. Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. According to my gospel. Here now, Paul is commanding Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. According to my gospel. We can see very clearly the content of the gospel message. The content of the gospel message is Jesus. Jesus Christ. That's motivates us to suffer for the gospel. Why Paul was suffering and he is willing to die? Because he is preaching Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That is the main thing. The content of the gospel. The meaning of the word remember in Greek is to hold in memory. Keep in mind. Recollect always as ongoing state. Because it is present tense. You always remember. You always keep in your mind Jesus Christ. Especially when you are preaching gospel. We can see here. When you wake up in the morning. Drink water, and get bath, and get ready, come to class, do assignments, and go to bed after that, right? After you have done the Greek workbook, nicely you can sleep, right? Happily, Aram say you will sleep. It's like a habitual thing. How you are doing normal things, you need to remember Jesus Christ, always. Always, an ongoing state. Three facts about Jesus that we must preach in our gospel. Three facts about Jesus that we must preach in our gospel. The first fact about Jesus that we preach in our gospel is Jesus is the risen one. Jesus is risen one. Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Here Paul is describing who is Jesus Christ according to his gospel. Jesus Christ is risen one. Paul is saying Jesus Christ was risen from out of the dead. He was separated from the dead. That is the idea. That is the idea in Greek. He did not say Jesus has risen from the dead. Because this is a passive participle. So the idea is God raised him from the dead. God separated him from the dead. The resurrection separates us from the death. That's happened. I want to tell Jesus himself said, I have authority to take it back in John Gospel. That is different. Jesus has power to raise himself from the dead. But here in our context, God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. That is the content of our gospel. You must preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are preaching resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to preach the death of Jesus Christ. If you want to preach death of Jesus Christ, you are supposed to preach why he died on the cross. If you are preaching why he died on the cross, then you need to tell people are sinful. We deserve eternal hell, the wrath of God. Jesus Christ saved us. He died. He rose again. Content of the message, content of the gospel is very important. That is, Jesus is risen one. The second thing we must preach about Jesus Christ in our preaching, that is, Jesus is the perfect King. Jesus is the perfect King. Look at verse 8. It says, descendant of David. Descendant of David. He was the promised Messiah. He is the King of David's throne as his descendant. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. And 33 says, he will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33 says, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. No end. He rules eternally. He is eternal King, the perfect King. Because he is a descendant of David. Nowadays, the many rulers are ruling all right, but one day only one King, perfect King, is going to rule us. That is Jesus Christ, perfect King. That is our content of gospel message. The third fact, that is Jesus is the perfect man. Not only Jesus is the perfect King, Jesus is the perfect man. Because descendant of David, it shows he is 100% fully man, as a descendant of David. This is talking about God who became man, born into the Virgin Mary, Here Paul is saying Jesus Christ is out of a descendant of David. His source as a man is from David's descendant. His source is from David's descendant. That is, he is fully man. Somebody says Jesus is not fully man. He's acted like, appeared like man. No, he really fully perfect man. Why did he become perfect man? He became a perfect man to bring righteousness to us by obeying all laws as a man. Whatever Adam failed to obey the law of God, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, obeyed all law and fulfilled all righteousness to give us righteousness. He is the seed of woman. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. These are the content of our gospel message, brothers. That's what he is saying. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Brothers, you need to stand for this gospel. Whenever you preach gospel, you should bring these points, whether you are preaching on the resurrection of Christ, whether you are preaching on divine nature of Christ, whether you are preaching on the humanity of Christ. You need to bring these things. These are the content of gospel message. But others are preaching other gospels. We know these days, sensitive movements, just they are preaching what congregation wants. It's like prosperity gospel. They are preaching. They are not speaking about the victorious king. They are not speaking mostly about the perfect king, one who has authority over us. They are not speaking about humanity, one who understands, one can show sympathy towards us in our weakness. They are not explaining these all things. They are not focusing on Jesus Christ, just the blessings come to get something from God, from Jesus. But Paul very clearly explained, have a goal, brothers. If you are preaching gospel, Jesus Christ, he is the content of that gospel message. Content of that gospel message. Second thing that motivates us to suffer for the powerful gospel is the effectiveness of the gospel. Not only content of the gospel and also the effectiveness of the gospel. Verse 9, part B2, verse 10. Look at it. It says, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. It says, right? So that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. I can say the effectiveness of the gospel that motivates us to suffer for the gospel. Even that motivated Paul to suffer for the gospel, because gospel has effectiveness. There is a worthiness to suffer for the gospel. If you are preaching gospel, if you are suffering for the gospel, working hard, breaking your body, because it has effectiveness. It will change people's heart. No one will bind the gospel power. That's why I said the powerful gospel, suffering for the powerful gospel. Because it has effectiveness. Three reasons why the gospel has effectiveness, we can say. Three reasons why we can say the gospel has effectiveness. The first reason is it is not imprisoned. It is not imprisoned. Look at verse 9. It says part B. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Here Paul uses opposite thoughts to what he said before. What he said before? Verse 9. I suffer hardship even to the imprisonment as a criminal. But, see the but is very important. The word of God is not imprisoned. People may stop preachers. People may do harm for the preachers and teachers, but they cannot stop the gospel. Gospel is not imprisoned. Gospel is not imprisoned. He is going through all stuff things. People rejected him. They did not support him. But he knows, even though I die in this imprisonment, that no one will bind the word of God. The gospel is so effective. So effective. Here Paul is saying very clearly, no one has binded gospel past, even no one will bind the gospel in future. No one has strength, courage to bind the effectiveness of the gospel. You know, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, Paul says, please look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. He says very clearly, he is very confident about this. No one will bind the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Now I want to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Greater progress of the gospel. When I was in imprisonment, the progression of the gospel is increasing. Verse 13, he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Verse 14, the most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, full opposite, right? We fear what? If somebody put in a jail, everybody will run away. But the gospel has power. It changes people's heart. It gives courage to the preachers more. Have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. That's what the gospel is doing. That's what God is doing through the gospel. Many people try to stop the gospel by putting preachers in jail and by killing them, by destroying church buildings, by insulting them. Many ways they try. If he insult, if he do anything harm to this preacher, he may stop doing preaching. No, it will increase. It will increase. The Bible is very clearly saying, Adoniram Judson, he said, when he was in prison with his fellow prisoner, he says, it is possible my life will be spared. If so, with what zeal shall I pursue my work? If not, if I die, his will be done. Then he said wonderful words, the door will be open for others who would do the work better. If I die in imprisonment, God will raise the persons, people who do much better work than me. He knows the people, ministers of God, they know the power of the effectiveness of the gospel. Paul knows that. That's why he is saying the word of God is not imprisoned. Brothers, please hold this word of God. If you are preaching, if you are learning, you preach it. One day you are going to die. One day you are going to be with Christ. But God will raise one more people. Most of the pastors, especially in villages, they feel, after who will take care of this business of preaching the word of God? Who will do the ministry? God will rise. God will rise. That is the implication we must learn. But we need to think, we are working for the gospel, which has effectiveness. Even though we die for it. Okay, second reason why the gospel has effectiveness is it is the motivation of endurance. It is the motivation of endurance. Look at verse 10, it says, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. The word endure means to continue to put up with something despite difficulties, afflictions. We can say to maintain a course of action in the face of opposition. Stand one's ground, hold out in trouble, standing, bearing, not moving here and there. Willing to face trouble, affliction, persecution. That is the endurance means. Then he says all things. He says, for this reason, I endure all things. Here Paul is saying, because of this, for this reason, what is that reason? The word of God is not imprisoned. Gospel has effectiveness. That's why I endure all things. The cause of the word of God was not imprisonment, even though he was imprisoned. The idea in Greek is he regularly enduring all things. This is an ongoing state, habitual action of the preacher, minister of the gospel. His continuous tense. I am ongoing way. I am enduring all things. Ongoing way. He is not saying sometimes I endure, sometimes I give up. He is saying always I endure all things. I take affliction. I suffer always for the gospel. Not sometimes. He endured physical suffering as mental sufferings. Not some difficulties, all things, all difficulties he endured, brothers. I love to remind the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 27. He gave big list of his endurance, his suffering. If you read, you will be encouraged by this. He says, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from river, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in city, dangers in wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in a labor, hardship, through my sleepless nights, in hunger, thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. He's worthy to say, he deserved to say, I endure all things. I endure all things for the sake of the gospel. Because he did all things. He is not thinking about his luxury life. He is not thinking about his comfort. Just he is living for the gospel. What an example we have. Just he is giving that example to Timothy. Suffer with me. I am enduring for the sake of gospel. That's why he said, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Suffer for the gospel. He said, I endured all things. Only gospel motivated him. Because he knows he is working for the gospel. The gospel has effectiveness. Effectiveness. You know, if you do business, if you know that business is going to be fruitful, then you will risk, right? If that business is not going to be useful, you stop that business. Generally, business people do, right? Here, no. The word of God is bearing fruit. If I work hard, if I suffer for the gospel, it will bear fruit. It is not going to be wasted, my things. That's why he's enduring all things. He said, verse 10, for the chosen. Verse 10, it says, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Chosen. Here Paul is giving the cause of his endurance of all things. That is for the sake of the elect, because of the elect, the chosen. God chose some people, many people in the world. I am enduring all things so that God may save them. But I want to tell you, there is a disagreement among Christians on the doctrine of elections. Some people like this, some people don't like it. But it is not a point you like or not like it. But it is the point what God is saying. What God is saying. It is very clear. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. So that he would be the first born among the many brethren. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Brothers, some say that if God has chosen those whom he will save, then why we do preach gospel? Why we need to preach gospel if God has chosen already? There are many doubts, right? The text is giving an understanding that the doctrine of election does not encourage laziness in mission. It will motivate us to do the ministry. That's what he says, right? I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Actually, in my soteriology theology paper. I got doctrine of election. I need to write on doctrine of election. That time when I'm reading the reasons why it is motivating a preacher to preach gospel. Because one of the reasons, this verse, he says, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. There is hope, right? God will save through our ministry. That's what, for other people, sacrificially, he is enduring. He is enduring. Jesus Christ is the best example of endurance. I cannot exalt Paul highly because he learned from Jesus Christ who endured for others' sake. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, endured the cross. Here Paul is suffering. He is enduring all things for the sake of the chosen. But for him, the great model is Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. Jesus Christ suffered for the sake of sinners, for the sake of chosen before the foundation of the world. Paul learned from Jesus. We must learn this endurance from Jesus Christ. Third reason why the gospel has effectiveness. Third reason why the gospel has effectiveness is it is the means of eternal blessings. It is the means of eternal blessings. Look at verse 10, part B. It says, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. We have two eternal blessings. The first eternal blessing is the eternal life. Eternal life. Verse 10, part B, it says, they may obtain the salvation. Here Paul is saying the salvation is only in Christ. Only in Christ. Salvation is nothing but the eternal life. Those who trust in Jesus have eternal life. That is salvation. They have eternal life. They don't have eternal destruction. This is the deliverance from eternal hell and the wrath of God. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, and there is a salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Only one name we can be saved under, that is Jesus' name. Only in Jesus we can obtain the salvation, we can obtain the eternal life, not experiencing eternal destruction. But the idea is chosen, maybe experience the salvation by God, gain the salvation by God's grace in Christ. Why he is enduring all things? Because God will save some people whom he chosen already. But one thing I want to tell, we know that very clearly, the salvation is only in Christ, not outside of Christ. That is the idea in Greek. You can find salvation only in Christ, not outside of the Christ. That's why he said, I endure all things for their sake. Because Jesus Christ, God will save them. Second eternal blessing is the eternal glory. Not only eternal life, eternal glory. It says, right, with it eternal glory. They may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. The light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of the glory far beyond all comparison. He is enduring for great purpose, right? People may save by the gospel. People may get the eternal glory by God's grace. That is his motivation. That's why I am saying the gospel is so effective. It has effectiveness. It saves sinners. It gives eternal glory to sinners in Christ. John Piper wrote a biography I'm Adoniram Judson. I want to share some thoughts of Piper on Judson. He entered Burma in July 1813. It was a hostile and utterly unreached place. William Carey told Adoniram Judson, don't go to that place, because many people went and died in that place. He said, even though he said he went there with his wife, he worked there for 38 years until his death at age 61. The price he paid was immense. He was a seed that fell into the ground and died. What John Piper wrote about him. The Bible was done. Dictionary was done. Hundreds of converts were leading the church. Today, there are close to about 3,700 congregation of Baptists in Myanmar who trace their origin to this man's labor. Of course, there are many besides Adoniram Judson. They too came, gave away their life. Most of them died much younger than Judson. The astonishing truth in Myanmar today has grown on a soil of suffering and death of many missionaries, especially Adoniram Judson. Because of his ministry, there are many Baptist converts in that country, Myanmar. After his ministry, which Adoniram Judson left, God may give us that heart, suffering for the gospel. God may give us that heart so that we can break our bodies, break ourselves, so that God may save other people, so that Christ may build his church. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time. Lord, give us the heart of compassion towards the nations. Lord, give us strength to serve you. Live for the gospel's sake. Lord, as we are serving, Lord, give us courage and comfort to suffer when it is coming in our life. Lord, take away our comforts. Take away thoughts of comfort in our lives. Give us the heart of hardworking, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I pray each and every one of us, Lord, give us strength and courage to stand for your gospel. Lord, we are weak. Use us as your tool. Mold us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, use us. Use each one of us in India so that through us you may save sinners whom you have chosen. Jesus' name, pray. Thank you.